Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, we're ready? All right, here we go, kids.
Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
My name is Questlove.
Yeah.
This is the morning.
Yeah.
I love making our guests do the theme.
Yeah.
With no warning.
Roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
My name is Fonte.
Yeah.
And I'ma speak my clout.
Yeah.
With my girl Sam J.
Yeah.
And her titties not out.
Roll call. Yeah. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
My name is Sugar.
Yeah.
I'm never boring.
Yeah.
So why don't you call me?
Yeah.
At 3 a.m.
Roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
I'm on pay bill.
Yeah.
No time to play.
Yeah.
Let's talk about white folks.
Yeah.
With Sam.
Roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
It's Laia.
Yeah.
With Sam J.
Yeah.
I've met her girl.
Yeah.
So ladies, y'all need to stay away.
Roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
My name is Sam.
Yeah.
I came to jam.
Yeah.
I'm from the beam.
Yeah.
And don't give a damn.
Roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
Okay.
Boom. Yeah.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
You fell right in. You fell right in with it. Would you like to join the podcast?
Yes. Right.
That's how I got in.
This is literally how we get our guests in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Questlove Supreme. I briefly forgot for I could tell, the way y'all looked at me right now is like, wait, did you forget the name of your podcast?
You did.
The answer is, yes, I did. Yeah. Wait, where am I? Not tonight's show. Oh, okay. Yeah. Questlove Supreme.
A lot of jobs, bro.
This is weird. This is like a novel idea of us being in person. We got to do this more often.
Oh, yeah. You miss
us. More often. Fonticolo, what's up, man?
I'm cool, man.
So I didn't get to do much small talk the last time we were together for.
Yeah, we had to keep
it pushing. Keep it moving. Yeah, but with the Charlemagne episode, but. Tell me how's it been going? Like, how's been tour life going? How's...
I don't like it.
Wait, you literally don't like touring?
No.
Are you surprised?
Part of me wants to know if Fonte just plays... Well, he doesn't play the grumpy...
I don't have to play anything.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's an act. That's life.
Yeah, I don't have
That's your true feelings.
Yeah, that's just really me. I mean, I just really...
What is your dream scenario?
kitchen counters.
To make money from my house, which I've been doing for the last 3 years. Like, that's pretty much it.
So you just never want to leave North Carolina?
I mean, yeah, man. It's just, I mean, listen, I'm just at a point in my career where I'm not going to be inconvenienced. Like, if I'm going to have to leave the comfort of my home, and I've even had this talk, like, with everybody. It's like, listen.
All of us.
I'm not a broke rapper, so I'm not going to go out and cosplay as one on the road. You feel me? Like, you're not going to have us staying in some book. No, fuck that. Like, either we go first, top of the line, or we just don't do this shit at all. Because I don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't been to my house, but you know what I'm saying? But
I've seen your house.
You seen my
photos?
I seen it on the videos.
Yeah, I have, like, you know.
You got eggshell finish, we know.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm not going to leave my house to go live at a standard that's less than what I got at my house.
Right.
So if you can't meet or exceed that standard, I'm staying the fuck home.
Damn, Fonte just took over. Sorry, Sam. We'll have you next week.
That's all good.
That's class.
The touring, like the performing, I enjoy. Like that hour and a half on stage, whatever, is great. But everything else around it, like the travel, the food, the all that other shit, yeah, they can have.
Okay.
So but the shows were dope. We did San Diego, Santa Ana, Brooklyn, and Boston. And Sam, she pulled up on us in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? We did shrooms.
I was there
together.
Too.
It was amazing.
We did shrooms.
Yeah, yeah. You pulled up too. Yeah.
You did shrooms.
Yeah. She gave me my first show.
Before or after?
After. It was after.
Oh, we need to really get into this story because I need to know how much did you attend?
Wait. Look. Time out, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Look, my fellow 30 Rockian is here. So this is just going to be I'd rather just introduce you now.
Yeah.
No, for real. Like, you're first of all the tragedy of why the world does not know, and I know you know for many things, but. For me, the levels of bust down, it's a tragedy that the world doesn't know this comedy, like this show more. And more than Detroiters, more than Southside, all the other shows that I've loved and then got thrown under the bus, like that is one of my favorite things ever. But of course,
thank you.
Your history at SNL, your stand-up specials, 3 a.m., so many that you've done. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Sam J.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Bah, bah,
bah. All right, now tell me, Sam,
shrooms.
How you got.
Let's get into it right away.
Fonte aboard for this.
How? I had some shroom gummies, and I was like, you should do them.
Oh,
and
gummies.
He was like, no. Nah. I was like, but they're fire, I promise. And
yeah.
I think I come off pretty trustworthy.
Yeah.
so he was like, all right, I'll do a couple. I was like, I promise you're gonna have a smooth ride.
Would y'all like some now?
Yeah. Yeah, because I never had the gummies, and I always have to eat them or make a tea.
I was like, it's going to be a smooth ride. You know what I'm saying?
Good. All right, yeah, let's go.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? Yeah, let's keep it.
Everybody on board for the ride?
All in together now.
I have to. Steve and I have to work after.
Yeah,
so
yeah. We're actually
you can't
going
be the pusher man and not.
And then be like, but I understand.
Wow.
I got it.
Oh, no, I'm probably
micro
still.
One to two pieces.
Oh, that's baby. That's
3 to 5, 3 to 6.
It's the same as the shit I gave you.
That is
God
literally.
God mode is 7 to 10 pieces.
Yeah, that's
God mode.
No. That's Shirley Temple.
Three.
That's like a half hour of
three.
Okay.
Yo, I'm so jealous,
yeah,
y'all.
Three,
I'm still out here actually chewing on real mushrooms, and y'all got them in gummies
and
chocolate.
Because
I don't like the taste of.
No one likes the taste of mushrooms.
It's
in
dirt.
The real world, like just the raw dog, they tear my stomach.
Yeah,
up.
You're supposed to drink it in a tea, or you don't really mess yourself up.
I was like being dumb. I just like put it on top of some pizza and bite it. And it was giving me a bad time.
How long have you been doing it?
I would say 6 years now.
Oh, you're advanced class.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I still haven't tripped yet. I feel like I'm doing something.
Oh. You haven't gone to the desert yet?
No.
You got to go to the desert.
Like in my mind or
so you've done it for real?
No, like physically. You have to go, like, trip somewhere that's trippable.
I mean, I've done, like, an island, but not yet, no.
Like, I'm still in the microdosing phase of just, shallow water.
And city tripping. Like, you're not, like, stepping out.
I don't even do it. Yeah, I don't understand people that can do it and function outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'd be like,
so you're an
outside
person?
Yeah.
I've done whole sets.
What are we saying? Wait,
really?
Outside sets? City tripping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fully outside.
The first time I heard someone really use their creativity for it, Steve, were you with us when we were working on the, what's Pharrell's movie with about the
Despicable Me?
No, the women who,
Hidden Figures.
All right, when we were doing the Hidden Figures, so I heard the engineer tell us a story about their clients that were coming in to do a session. I remember the engineer saying that it was like they're going to make a jazz record and everyone's going to do shrooms first and see what happens to it. And at the time, you know, I was in my old state of mind, like, you guys are doing drugs. And that, but nah, it's.
Who
it's,
did that to you? Like, what? Because I went through a pandemic phase of believing in drugs and like believing in everything.
Oh.
And then I was like, nah, people been lying. Were
Our
you
parents.
Like a dare kid? Were you a dare kid?
I was absolutely a dare kid.
Oh, I was past dare, yo.
Oh, like, y'all you didn't have weed smoking parents?
No. My mother was like, don't do none of that. And then I believed dare, and I was like, everything leads to crack.
Wow.
Oh, dare.
But you from Baltimore?
Boston.
Boston.
Oh, okay. Boston. Oh, well, yeah. All right, well, don't disrespect. I mean, let's slow. Let's everybody relax.
I didn't know which one to disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, there was a period where literally. I think, and all right, I'm not throwing my mom under the bus. I know she's listening to this episode. But I'm just saying that I think there's a generation of people who were hip in the 60s, hedonistic in the 70s, and then something happened. I believe that Reagan's speech at the Republican National Committee, like whatever his version of Obama's Yes, We Can speech in 2004, like he gave a speech in which really just people believed in it. Like the original Make America Great Again, which literally that was the first time.
That was one of his sayings.
Yeah, Trump stole that, no surprise here, from him, Make America Great Again. And it was just a period where like in the 80s, people decided they wanted to atone for their sins of the hedonistic 70s and the 60s, so everyone became like born again Christian, and then like
crack's fault.
Donna Summer started.
I was thinking
doing
about crack. Yeah, that's what I was fault. About to say. Like crack had to also be, because that was just like watching people. Like I feel like heroin was like people went to the war. You kind of knew what was going on. They came back. It went fucked up.
Right.
But crack was just like watching a bus driver become a goblin in a week. And it was like,
by the way,
and crack too. It took the mothers out the home. So it was like, you know, like there was always drugs in the community. Like even if your mom like might have partied, did a little coke or whatever here and there, she was still coming home doing homework. She was still cooking for the kids. Mm-hmm. Crack came and it took the mothers out the home completely. You know,
by the way, I'm a late binger. So I just watched the last episode of
Snowfall
last night.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. God.
And watching Franklin St.
Don't just spoil it.
Deteriorate.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, I mean,
you just did.
I said deteriorate.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, that was phenomenal, right? The way they phenomenal.
Now I've realized, and okay, for those that didn't see it.
Spoiler alert.
Once they happened to walk past the set of You Know What. Right, seeing that, you know, that made it, that even brought it more full circle for me. It's like, wow, this guy, like, not even 7 months ago was Franklin Saint, like, the powerful whatever, you know. And now he's one of them. Now I wonder, like, how many other people I've dismissed as, like,
oh, 100%.
You crackhead.
Oh, yeah,
not
sure.
Knowing that
and
person
that was alcohol
had a history.
For Franklin. I don't even think he, was that crack with
Yeah, it was alcohol.
It was alcohol, but you know what it's going to lead to.
Addiction.
People were like, people were definitely debating the alcohol or like, did he do crack? And, like, I was like, nah, I think that hit with the Wanda. It's like I think that was a part of the psyche is, like, he still thought he was better than them.
Than to do the crack.
Not that. You know, like, he still had a disillusionment.
But you're an addict nonetheless, because, I mean, the way you begging your mama for money, the way you begging your homie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That $3 million, just let me get
the
that.
The money was the crack. That's what
exactly.
I was
that
saying.
That was his addiction.
Because when he went to Leon for that $3 million, it was very feeny. It was very feeny.
Yeah. When you pulled the gun out, you're like, you gonna give me that? Yeah.
Or just the way he was sweating, and I'm gonna just get it, and then I'm gonna just go do this. And then, I'll just go.
And then I'll pay you back and make you an officer of the company.
Oh, my
guy's
feet.
This
out.
Is crackhead shit.
Yeah.
Damson Idris, we coming for you.
That mirroring of, like, what a drug addiction and him and his addiction, and, like, how they perfectly, like, that scene with his mom in the jail.
Yeah.
When he's, like, raging and screaming. It's like, yo, that looked like Pookie when they was putting him in the joint in New Jack. You know what I'm saying?
So that said, it was just in the early 80s, you know, starting with Little Richard, starting with Donna Summer. It's like all these celebrities started being like born again Christians and whatever. And I guess when you're 40 years
Little
old.
Little Richard stopped sucking dick.
Yeah.
He did. Well, he stopped. Well, he did. And he was like, don't even put that on my life. Like, when people would still try to put that, he was like, no, don't bring that devil stuff over here.
Right. Black people have always been super conservative.
And they demonized weed because only black and brown people were doing it. Don't forget about Freddie's documentary, The Grass is Greener. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that said, I was just taught that all drugs are bad, all da-da-da-da-da. And then once the pandemic came, you know, I started microdosing, which was necessary because, like,
microdosing weed or microdosing shrooms?
Shrooms.
He went all. He went straight.
There was no gate. There was no gateway drug.
Right. Like, went from tasty cakes to shrooms.
That's what I'm like trying
what
to.
What a trajectory!
Around. No, that's just, I'm like, you just started.
In my personal opinion, shrooms are like the Shirley Temple. Oh. Of
that's the second Shirley Temple reference you made today.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's. Like, I was waiting for, like, all right, when do I become a crackhead?
Yeah.
And the only thing that started happening was I started crying, but I wasn't sad.
You got feelings.
Yeah, but I realized that as a person who you never saw me cry. Like, I've told this story. Even at Dilla's funeral, my most shameful moment was I'm never going to let Tariq see me cry. So I had to run out the funeral service, cry, come back in, and kept running out, coming. Yeah.
You needed drugs.
I did.
Yeah, he's been there. Yes, yes.
Like, I've just been taught, like, that whole Tony Soprano, if you're a leader, never let anyone see you in a vulnerable moment because they can use that. Like, they get happy if I drop a drumstick. So what's going to happen if I start crying? Like,
damn, did Tariq know that, Amir? Did you was running from crying in front of him?
He just found out now, but he doesn't listen to Questlove Supreme.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that part.
Can't imagine he's one of our biggest listeners.
Right.
So your first drug is pandemic.
Well, I mean, there was the time I accidentally...
Amsterdam.
So in Amsterdam, I didn't know about weed brownies. So, you know, I was like, hey, I'll join you guys and see what it's like here. It was the first night there. And I sat at the bar and I saw a whole bunch of brownies. And I was like, hey, I'll take that. And I took three without knowing. And immediately the bar guy was like, wait, whoa, you just took three of those?
Oh,
I was like,
damn.
Yeah, what's... He said, oh, no. And I was like, oh, what? And then... We found out later.
You ended
come,
up in
come
Belgium.
Me chasing like Keith Sweat and Silk all through the streets of and that sort of shit. But
you should have micro brownied.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but that was it. And then shrooms.
Yeah, so shrooms. Okay. Yeah, I'll say that.
Contact. Just contact in between. Just contact.
Right. I did it. No. I did a very small micro dose of it. And I realized like I was just in a great space where I felt I was like, wait, why
and
am
this
I
is
crying?
During the pandemic.
Yeah,
damn.
During the pandemic.
So Sam and Fonte did Brooklyn Shrooms. What
we
happened?
Did Brooklyn Shrooms.
We did Brooklyn
no,
Shrooms.
No, it was great. I did them. We was in the dressing room. She had them. I was like, all right, fucking I'm doing. So I did them. And afterwards, we went. You went to the city. You were going to hang it.
I went to the stand, I think.
The stand. You were going to the stand.
And you went to the De La
I went
thing.
To the De La party. So
which was
I went to the De La party.
Shrooms.
That shit was fire. I went to the De La party. Shout out my girl Tara and my brother Don Will. He was spinning. And there was a light, like, wall behind them. Mm-hmm. And so I was just watching the lights, like, kind of blink and shit. And,
how long?
And they was playing much
could
more.
Could have been days.
That shit sounded amazing.
Who knows?
Yeah, it was
I
great.
Was so happy. You text me and you were like, these shrooms, they're nice. And I was like, yes!
Nah, it was a cool little ride.
I'm so happy when I get people, like, good high and they're like happy and
nah it was cool. I mean, because drugs for me, I mean I always grew up around drugs, and I think the DARE stuff was like, looking back on that shit, like, people don't understand just how insane that was. They had police officers,
yeah, it was terrifying,
with loaded weapons coming to talk to fucking third graders
terrifying.
About drugs, like
mm-hmm.
like get the fuck
and they
out
would
of
show
here.
You crack, maybe they would open up that thing,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, this is crack.
Oh, this is post officer friendly. This is
oh, it wasn't yeah. These what niggas wasn't hell? Friendly. Like, I mean, they were, you know, cool, but yeah, but it was still police officers with fucking weapons, and you're a kid, so yeah, it was some bullshit. But no, I'm definitely pro drugs now.
Hell yeah.
Well, mostly weed and
okay,
shrooms.
Okay, there we go. Yeah,
weed and shrooms. Shrooms.
Now,
yeah.
That other shit is that other shit.
That yeah.
No, one day I'll try it. I would like to see what LSD. No. Well,
LSD,
I've done
I
that
can.
Before.
Molly
man.
Is nice.
You get Molly
what the fuck
here?
Is happening here?
I'm starting to think you do drugs.
Who's this person?
Right, yeah.
Right. Who are you?
I'm yeah. starting
to. I did.
It's not subtle.
Look, the evidence suggests.
Look, here's the change.
He's going to go from 19 jobs to like 3.
Or like none.
No. For real. Here's the scale. There's mushrooms. There's weed. Molly's in the family. There's ayahuasca.
Yeah.
But again, it's I don't do it for party purposes. Like, yo, let me get fucked up and, you know, go to the club. No, I do it when I meditate. I do it like as.
Self-realization.
No, we get it.
Really to get in touch with my emotions, because, you know, it's if you don't express
Molly?
Your emotions, yeah, well, again,
Molly is nice.
Again, it's been demonized so much that we think that, and also people abuse it. It would be like me going to like a church and to get fucked up on communion wine. Like, you're not supposed to.
Right.
that's not the purpose of taking communion wine.
Uh-oh.
It helps too, I think, when it comes to drugs outside of weed, but you definitely helps when you have black people like to introduce that to you. And like, yeah, Sam, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, for Sam to introduce that to you.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'll fuck with it because it's
you
Sam.
Have to have people you trust.
Steven and Bill.
Listen, I trust Steve and Bill. If they introduce, I would, but
I get what you're saying.
I feel like I could get like
white high and black high.
My first Molly was with my black lawyer friend. And I was like, you're a lawyer. You go to work every day. You care about your life. Yes. Your shit is together.
Hold on. If I gave you drugs, you wouldn't take them?
No, I absolutely would fucking take them.
You said there's a white high and a black high?
Yes.
Let's talk about it. There's
a difference. Have you not heard the Richard Pryor acid sketch?
Bro, like, I went to high school with these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So I saw, like, these motherfuckers, like, the shit that we would do would be like go to the store. There was a store called Gus's.
This the is way we talk about shit. White people, they're not these motherfuckers. Like, we're talking about like aliens. Like, y'all wouldn't
no, it's just, these listen, it's different. It's just different. I just had to see that for myself.
Different. They huff.
Yo, for us, it was like we would go to the store. There was a store called Gus's where you could get, you know, liquor or wine or whatever. So we go and get our little Boone's Farm or some bullshit, right? We was on Boone's Farm. The white boys I played football with, these niggas was on acid. Like, yeah. In high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, these man. Niggas was like 16. Nice. Like, they parents leave and shit. These niggas, like, any drug.
Those
imaginable.
Are chemically.
I will say like, this, though.
I don't trust that shit.
All the white homies that I had that I did drugs with, I super trusted because, like, not for nothing, white people, like, be knowing, like, what the shit does. Like, he's like, nope. This goes to this part of your nervous system, and what it does is it releases a chemical. It's the same chemical that releases when you pee. And, it just, and you're like, all right, man, you got a lot of information, brother.
Yo, what's up? This is Fonte, Fontigolo from Team Supreme. Black representation in media is very important to me. I think it's important to have our stories told by people who look like us and who have shared in our common experiences. Some of my earliest influences were Donnie Simpson. I would also say Tom Joyner, Angela Stribling, Sherry Carter. They were just people who told our stories with a lot of class and dignity and were big inspirations to me. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast, The Center Black Voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so there's a documentary out called Fantastic Fungi.
Okay.
Ooh.
We're really going down the rabbit hole. This is fantastic.
No, no, I highly recommend it. It's a documentary that came out in 2019, and it literally explains the benefits of mushrooms, not just hallucinogenic mushrooms, but the purposes of mushrooms on Earth, which literally nature takes in mushrooms. Like when mice or animals decomposed in the parks or whatever, it's mushrooms that, even mushrooms growing inside the body, once decomposing process happens when you...
Ew. Mushrooms grow inside our bodies?
Yes,
that's what I was thinking about.
Like, literally, watch Fantastic Fungi. It's.
I don't want to, because now I'm going to think The Last of Us is real.
It could be.
I mean, I believe it.
Oh, no spoilers. I didn't finish the last three episodes.
Oh, you haven't?
I mean, it's nothing to...
Well, you ruined Snowfall.
Yeah, we ruined Snowfall.
And that ended way before Snowfall, Amir, so...
So, Sam, talk about comedy.
Sam, say something funny.
Let's talk about being black in Boston. Outside of New Edition.
Being black in Boston.
I'm very proud of you, Fonte. I know we planned... you guys had the first QLS play date. Well, minus me and Bill.
Oh, yeah.
It's tomorrow.
Right. I can't do it tomorrow because I have to work. I
mean, right.
But, you know, one day...
Unless you're tripping balls, you might just stay home.
Which would be awesome, to call into work tripping balls.
No, we should actually do it the right way one day and
do
a retreat. Do a retreat. You should work your way up to that.
I can't. What do you mean? I did mushrooms. What I need to do, Molly?
I can't trip with Laia.
Did you just do the mushrooms right now? No. I've been doing them. I have a high tolerance, so... You have to feel what mushrooms does, I think, before you can.
Can we just
ayahuasca.
Smoke weed and sit on the side? Because I got kids, man. I can't go too far down the rabbit.
What's your fear of?
First of all, I did a lot of drugs in college. They're great. Don't get me wrong. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people don't depend on all of us, but like I have kids that depend on me. It feels like a whole lot of responsibility, and that just fucks me up. And I think
so
it would fuck up
now.
You don't want to be out of control.
I mean, I love being out of control. but that kind of out of control where I literally can't control it, I don't think...
You don't think you would come back?
No, I think I would come back. I think I would just, at this time
you
in my
think
life...
You think you'll feel different about your family when you're done?
I think I'd freak out. They're 10 and 12.
You'd get some phone call in the middle
weekend,
of it.
Because it's a weekend, Bill. It's a weekend.
Oh, because you're saying you could unlock something in your brain, and then you'd be like, oh, I actually hate these niggas. What I really need is to back and
I already
forth.
Do that. I assure you a lot.
Yes, I assure you that once... The first thing that you do when you start... Because the thing is that I've conveniently managed to avoid issues, people, things in my life as a means to just survive. Mm. And once this forces you, now I feel like I'm old, Damon Wayans in Living Color. The proclivity.
Oh, the proclivity, right? Oswald Bates. Right.
Wait, how did you know that motherfucker's name?
I watch Living Color, dog. Like, I watch it every day.
Like, yeah, I don't want to sound like Oswald Bates, but the first thing that you will probably reassess and reevaluate are your relationships. Now, for me, I realized in 2020.
I don't need that shit. Who needs that?
Yes, you do.
Come on, man. I got divorced. I'm good about my relationships,
but
man.
The thing is that we're so, I think one of the biggest fears we have in life is advocating for ourselves. Just to keep it 100, this morning I was a half hour late to this podcast. True. Mainly because I was literally on the phone trying to manage expectations of certain industry professionals that felt left out.
But those aren't your expectations
of the process.
To manage, though.
Right. And but previously,
he's good at it.
I would have been crying to Kara Lewis and calling up my manager like, hey, can we include da-da-da in this project and da-da-da in this
you
project?
Just snapped
and
at me.
Right. And the thing is that, no. Well, I also said, like, my favorite line from Ring, 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 Ha, Ha, Hey, Hey, is Maceo saying, yo, G, Pos is doing the producing.
Right.
Meaning pass the buck to someone else. But once you get to a place where you decide you don't want to manage other people's expectations of your life, and that's like, what will da-da-da say about me? What will da-da-da think about me? Da-da-da is going to not like me because I did this. I don't want to disappoint, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes the people that you have to do that with might be your own flesh and blood. Mm. And that's a hard, like, advocating for yourself is such a hard place to get to.
When does this come about therapy for Bill? Facts. I like it, though. Let's get into it. Fuck it.
The main reason why I stress this is because if I don't realize it, my body already knows it. And, like, imagine carrying Michelin Man levels of water in your body, swollen, like Elephant Man level. Like, technically, lymphedema is like kind of a cousin to elephantitis. Mm-hmm. So all those tears, I never cried. All those, I mean, I joked about the Hip Hop 50. The first place I went to when I landed from Hip Hop 50 in the Grammys, I had to go to the dentist because my tooth fell out. Why? Because I let 7 weeks go by without me, you know, people pound. How come this has more verses than me? And all that anxiety of me just taking it in and not like and freezing it caused my body to just go, my tooth fell out. So I'm just saying the best thing you can do for your kids. Yo, know, Bill is really like, why me? Why, yeah. The best thing that okay. you can do for your children is
drugs.
To
yes.
Got no, it. The best thing you can do for your children is to ensure that you will be here to the age of 90 to see your great, great, great grandchildren is to literally be here in the best mental health and the mental state that you can be in. Mm. And
that's heavy. You just pushing it.
No,
up.
We just yeah. got scary shit. Yeah, like, no. I yeah. assure you, Five. No Eight. One has a scarier Eight. Life than I do. And the fact that most of this nice guy-ness, whatever, Questlove, nice guy shit, is really a mask of, like, the nicer a person is, I assure you, they got more anger, pain.
It's like Nate from Ted Lasso.
Yes. Yo. I love you for saying that. Yo, for real. Like, that's what you don't want to be.
Okay.
That guy.
Okay.
Damn. You so got let's it, talk Bill? About comedy.
Yeah. This is a hilarious conversation.
Nah, this is great.
I'll do drugs. Fuck it. Let's do it. I just yeah. want to do it today because I have Damn. To drive. That's no, responsible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm walking.
Just
so
a weekend. Cool. I do want to do a weekend retreat, though. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think we should.
Isn't it a little frustrating, though, to go to that world and then... Have see it back. and then knowing you have to come back and live most of your life in this
but you come back a changed person.
Yeah, I think the idea is that you go to this other place and the lessons you learn there mm-hmm. you're able to apply
yeah.
yes.
in your regular
I only recommend this for people that are actively trying to improve their life. You know, I wasn't the world's best communicator. I was not the most emotional person on earth. Like, I was a technical person.
You're still a work in progress. We all work in progress.
We've been patient with you.
Yeah. That's huh.
So all y'all need my
pretty damn patient.
Yeah. That was beautiful, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing like, us up. You, I Sam. Like this. Thank you for coming here, Sam. In a this circle. Is, yeah. Thank this you is for nice.
Yep.
Time that Sam gave Fonte drugs and now Bill's gotta do ayahuasca. Fuck all this shit. All right, cool.
Who was a unit?
So this is what I always wanted to know, Sam, because you know, I came to 30 Rock University like in late 2008, early 2009. Already had my preconceived notions of what it was. And being as though, okay, for some, I can't explain why, but I'm literally going through every episode of SNL.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I'm in 1983.
Ooh.
I'm literally watching the evolution of the show.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm asking myself, like, yo, how did they get away with this? But just like the mind state of what comedy was back then.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that thanks to our benevolent leader, Steve Higgins. Steve Higgins, for those that don't know, yeah, he's the sidekick on The Tonight Show, but Steve Higgins runs SNL. He's the main producer. So he's allowed me all the time to just go to the show. I mm-hmm. like going to the show just to see how it runs.
Yeah.
Because that's fascinating to me. But to also watch... its evolution
mm-hmm.
to where it is now, I was like, wow, like someone's really in the room now saying like, no, we need to be seen and those sort of things. And I, you know, attribute, can you tell me how, because you're definitely part of that paradigm shift. Like, what were your expectations coming into that building? And are you allowed to talk about, because I also know that I've talked to many a person that had disdain mm-hmm. or that sort of thing, like about changing the culture.
I really
there.
Had none. Like I'll be very like honest about it, but I really didn't have any. Sometimes I feel like the people who did are like cool, but I did it. I really did it. Cause what I came in and my expectations were just like I didn't really have any. Like I knew I had never written on a show ever.
Really,
I had never been in a writer's room.
Isn't that your first writer's room?
This is my first writer's room, yeah.
Wow.
Who recommended you?
I went through the
audition process, but I believe it was Doyle who saw me at Just for Laughs.
Okay.
I didn't really, like, I was going in like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm like, I just hope I survive this thing because I have no idea. I've never written a sketch. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, all right, let me just get in here and, like, try not to drown. You know what I mean? So I didn't even have any, like, I'm going to be, like, getting sketches on by this time and I'm going to be, like, saving the show and, like, no. I was just like, I hope I can become, like, competent at this thing before I get fired, you know?
Does the average writer have expectations like, I got to create the next cowbell sketch or the
probably.
Next Debbie Downer?
I would imagine why wouldn't you, like, be ambitious in that way if, like, that's, like, your fucking jam, you know what I mean? Because I know, like, when I got into stand-up, I was like, I want to have an hour special, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think for sure I wasn't granted, like, having those thoughts for that space because it was really foreign to me in every way.
What did they tell you about why you? What did they tell you about you?
They just thought I was funny.
Okay. I know they told you about a certain bit that you did and they were like, okay, we need
to. Did you hand a package or did you actually audition to be on the show?
I auditioned to be on the show and then
all right, what was that like? Because I know Jimmy's version of it where Lauren doesn't laugh and there's only three people in the room and so tell me about walk me through your audition process.
Yeah, you just like you go and you're like waiting and it's like you're just down there on 8H and it's weird. So I kind of dipped out because it was weird. And I was just like, yeah, kind of like text me a little bit before my time. I asked like
are you in a room with other people like waiting?
No, they have you in your own, like you're
cubicle.
You're taking up a dressing room.
Okay.
So you're just in it by yourself, but you can like hear it through the walls of the people auditioning.
Me. Like in the other room.
Yeah, you can just feel the stress. You know, you're just like, oh, it's so tense in here. So I was like, I'm going to dip. So I was like, I can't perform well this way because I was just doing like a stand-up set because I didn't have characters or anything like that either, so like this world is not on my map of things,
right?
I don't do characters, I don't write sketch, like, you know. So I left and then the person who was there, she texted me, she was like, yeah, it's about to be your turn. So I just came down like regular comedy club night and just kind of just went
I'm curious up. When you left, what's the thing that you did until until you got the text?
Some Sam shit. I went to a bar in 30 Rock, the bar downstairs.
Right.
And I just sat there and did shots with these
so
old kinda, black women.
You kind of nervous?
Shrooms.
With these old black women. I was just kicking it with them. They were nice. They prayed over me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nah, I love when old
that's,
black women pray on you.
It was kind of like, right. It was pretty,
come on, man.
It was pretty rad. Like, they were like not like a heavy, but just like they gave me with the blessings real quick.
That shit worked, though.
It worked.
It was nice.
So when you got in, I'm curious, when you get in, is this somebody?
Yes, of course I was nervous, for sure, right. For sure. It's a nerve-wracking situation.
And when you get in, is this somebody to kind of walk you through? Like, what's your first day like?
Oh, the first day of SNL after audition? No, you just go to work.
You just go to work. They say, write something.
Yeah.
Write something funny, and we'll let you know if it makes it.
How many people were in the room during the audition process?
It's just, it's Lauren. It was like Lauren, Colin, I want to say Tucker. I want to say Kim Word, and I want to say...
And Higgins, right?
Kent and Higgins. But they were, like, sitting in a row, like, in the back. And it's, like, kind of dark in there. The studio's not, like, fully lit up.
How jarring was it to do comedy without having...
Very.
And a slew of white dudes, right?
Very.
Like a slew.
And you just on the stage by yourself, just like, I would do my act.
Okay.
But at that point, it's like, it is what the fuck it is. You know what I mean? Like... Ain't no really reversing the thing, so I was like, whatever.
They wanted you.
Are they looking for someone that could be confident in the face of tension?
I don't know that that's always what they're looking for. I think they're just looking for different shit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think it all comes together and makes the thing. And I think it's everybody coming from different walks of life, people coming from just, you know, different parts of comedy,
right,
coming into comedy a different way, all of that. I think it's just like...
Now, before I ask about what happens after you... get the green light. How many years before SNL was your comedy journey?
So at that point, it had to be about to be 11, I think. So at that point, it had to be about 5 or 6 or something.
So like 2007, 2008?
That I start comedy?
Yeah.
2013?
Okay. So 2012, at what point are you like, okay, people say I'm funny... Until you first went on a stage to do
Yeah.
A tight three.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, maybe like years, like 8 years or something. You know, like if people.
So can you talk about the process of
feels like right.
From where you were in life until like I'm going to go on that stage and.
Day jobs.
And talk.
Yeah. I feel like it's like, you know, I feel like high school people thought I was funny. I feel like, you know, you really start to understand yourself around that time, at least certain parts of yourself. And I thought about it. And then, like, when I was 20, I did it once. I did a show at Dick's Comedy Vault. And I remember getting off stage, and I was like, this feels fucking icky. It just didn't. I don't know how to explain it. It just felt incorrect. I was like, I don't know. That's not how that was supposed to feel.
Where's this located? The
Boston. In the.
Oh, you're from, oh, God.
I'm from Boston.
Okay, so I've heard Patrice O'Neal's stories about Boston.
Yeah, so Boston, and it was underneath Emerson College.
Okay.
And then I got sick, and I was in and out of the hospital for a while. And then after that, I went down to Atlanta, and I kind of just started doing other shit, you know, like I was doing a lot of bullshit jobs, a lot of day jobs, and then
so
I
ask you, what's the Sam J day job? What was you doing?
All
in
types
Atlanta?
Of. Oh my God, I worked for the IRS, like in the mailroom.
Wow. Wait,
didn't see that coming.
I worked.
Didn't see that.
But you had a communications job on the phone.
I worked. Yeah, I worked plenty of just like call centers.
Yeah,
I worked at this office building. I forget what they did. But I worked at this office building doing office shit. I worked at Starbucks. I worked at Starbucks. Yeah, I had mad jobs.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you gotta change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
So for you, was there any fear the first time you stepped on stage to?
I feel like, yeah, the natural fear of like, what if it just, you don't connect with it the way you thought you would or something, which I think is how I felt the first time when I'm like, it felt icky. It just was, I don't know.
I'm asking one in these this therapeutic way, one, because we're all quasi-tripping right now, but mostly because, yeah, you hear that laugh?
And he ain't.
Mostly because I always see comedy almost neck and neck with songwriting, except with songwriting, I think the rejection isn't as hard as it is. Like, you have to learn the lesson via silence.
Yeah.
Failure, that sort of thing. And the only person I know that actually reveled in bombing was Norm Macdonald. Like, the way that he just embraced, like, it's almost like I want Norm Macdonald to not be funny.
Kevin Barnett was like that. R.I.P. Kevin Barnett.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Kevin Barnett was like that of our dinner. Like, he really loved to bomb. Kevin, it was fun watching Kevin bomb. It was a great time.
And heckle the heckler.
Was it for him? Was it just something, I guess you think it was like therapeutic? Just kind of like facing your worst fears as a comic, just kind of leaning into it?
Yeah, and I think also a little bit like, man, this is who I am. Like, if I can't really change that. This is really how I think about these things. This is actually what my brain like. So if you just don't like it, it's like you just don't like me. And
that's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't really do much about that.
Oh, we didn't ask you that, Sam, who you kind of came up listening to comedy-wise. Like, who were your influences? If there is such a thing as comedians and saying influences, and that's bad, I know. But, you know.
A little bit of everybody. I just really liked comedy. I was, like, consuming it in all forms, you know, like watching Daria, watching Beavis and Butthead, watching The State, watching Kids in the Hall.
Okay.
Watching Mr. Show.
Okay.
Oh, you was on Mr. Show, too?
Yeah.
T-T-O-M-O?
Yeah. My friend Patrick put me onto Mr. Show, and I was like, I'm into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I need The State to have a proper box set of
The State was the shit.
Yeah, it was. And, like, the fact that they can't do it because of all the song clearances that they did on their initial MTV run. But I am also curious to see how black comedians that aren't under the direct umbrella of Pryor, Murphy, or Rock, like for a lot of 90s comedians and 80s comedians and 70s comedians, there's like one North Star.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
Every 80s comedian is like Richard Pryor's. For every 70s comedian, Bill Cosby was their North Star.
Yeah.
For every 80s, it was Richard Pryor. For every 90s, it was Eddie Murphy. Early aughts was like kind of Chris Rock. But then in seeing how comedy was post, I'll say social media, especially with what was the original TikTok? The 7 seconds thing.
Vine.
Vine.
Yeah, like.
Oh, yeah, Vine.
Vine. Like, I would talk to those Vine stars that were hilarious to me for those 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, there's like King Back, like all those guys.
Yeah.
To them, Pryor and Rock and Murphy are like old, like they respect them or whatever, but their level of comedy, like I think there was a level of black generation comedy, like post 2004, 2005, that wasn't directly influenced from those three North Stars. So for like,
what does a woman come into conversation? It's always those male North Stars. Nobody ever gives Moms Mabley or somebody else. God damn.
Yeah, I don't think we're big on history in general. That's, like, it's with rappers
I mean, that's true. You know what I mean? That part of it is like, I can honestly say, like, I learned about Moms Mabley after the fact. When I grew up, my household was like a Red Fox, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy.
You were allowed to listen to those records? Because I had to sneak to listen to
I wasn't
records.
Allowed to do that stuff by myself, but if I happened to be in a room and it was on, they weren't like,
right,
get her out the room.
Yeah, move, yeah.
So you didn't grow up in a fire and brimstone house?
No. My mother was very much like, she was very open-minded, cool. Like, about shit like that. Like, she used to always say, like, religion is the opiate of the masses and stuff like that to me.
Ooh.
So what is that like? Like, being raised by a black parent in the 1900s that's not cloaked and trapped by...
Oh, shit.
No, by Christian imperialism.
You're right.
Because
a
lot of us make our decisions based on, like,
you're going to hate
fire and brimstone.
Right. Fear. Yeah.
Wait, what is that like?
I don't know. I guess I feel like I was taught a lot to think for myself. It was big. My household was big on, like, thinking for yourself and, like...
You didn't get no whippings. No,
I didn't get a lot of whippings, no.
Talk to...
You're actually able to express yourself. What a noble concept.
But just, like, you know, I very much, like, what do you think? And, like, if I would just, like, divert to a question, it would be like, did you think about that? Did you try to come up with your own answer? So I was just very much, like...
That's amazing.
That? But also, you know, it has its own shit with it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're just like, I'm a kid, man.
Just tell me what to fucking do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just give me a line.
Wish you would. Not to say there were no lines, because for sure there were, but just sometimes you just didn't want to think. You know what I mean? You just. Right.
Not to discredit black parents out there, because I know a lot of them made their decision on our survival, fight or flight. Mm-hmm. I was told that parenting is sort of like you get 300-page manual, IKEA manual, 5 minutes before you know, hand, and you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Like, you learn as you go along.
That's 100%
accurate. And my mother's was an extreme reaction to my grandmother's. He used to beat the shit out of them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think my mother's, like, was just like, I'm just going to try to do something else.
Do
you know what
way,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I didn't like that, and it didn't quite work for me or whatever, I think. And I'm also her third child, so I don't know what she was like with my brothers and stuff.
They don't tell
younger,
you? They don't tell you, like, damn, you got it easy.
Yeah, but I feel like every younger sibling hears that to some
degree. Yeah, there was an article I was reading the other day, and they said, like, no two siblings have the same parents.
Right.
Like, because they're at a different stage. Your parents are different people.
So she could have easily just saw how she fucked up on my brother.
Exactly.
100%. And they're like, man, all right, well, we're not going to do that.
Right.
You know, we're going to try some whatever.
What did your mother do? Did you just mention that?
She was a physical therapist.
And your pops, what was he around? Was he in
my
the
dad died when I was young.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, when I was like a baby. I had a stepfather, though, and he worked in computers. He used to just like work on servers for like UMass.
Ahead of his time. Okay.
When you were younger, like, what was your aspiration?
I don't really think I had one. At some point, I convinced myself I was going to do political stuff, or I wanted to be, like, a lawyer.
You're kind of doing political stuff now.
So that was, like, kind of, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to get into politics a lot, and I would, like, shadow politicians and participate in, like, mock government and mock trial and shit like that, because I thought that's what I was going to do. Mock trials were real.
Damn, I'm sorry, especially. I only know it because of Arrested Development. So.
mock trials were real.
I'm sorry. I love when other black people get that reference.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to ask you about, I'm jumping ahead. We was talking about it outside. Pause.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's going on? What was that experience like? You told me it's not coming back. What's going on?
You did have your own show, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I did 2 seasons of it. It was fun. Yeah. I got to rock out with my friends.
Damn, it was 2 seasons.
Yeah, I got to, you know, Jack Knight was a part of that show. Zach Vox was a part of that show. Langston Kerman was a part of that show. It was like my homies, you know what I mean? So it was so fun to make a show with my friends. It was so fun to make a show I believed in. And, like, that was, like, true to some shit that I wanted to talk about and I wanted to say.
And I loved that show. I mean, I would text you and stuff like, no, that show.
It was a really cool thing to do, and I'm glad I got to do it. With HBO.
Was it too ahead of its time, in your opinion? Or, but I also want to know how black...
I don't want to be one of those people.
Well, all right, I don't want to make it awkward.
No, well, it's a middle in there, though, right?
Yeah.
Because this was like a whole experience, and like you did some dope shit. So it's like,
I think parts
of
it were ahead of its time, I think. Parts of it were like hella nuanced, you know what I mean?
Very much so.
And it was just like,
it wasn't a show. The
if
thing
you
I like...
get it, you get it. If you don't, but I like shit. Like, I grew up and I loved Liquid TV. And I love shit like that, you know? Like,
it didn't tell you how to feel. That was the thing I liked
about
the show.
Yeah, I am like that type of person.
But
so.
Not hearing your childhood talk about how your mom would, you know, challenge you on things and like encourage you to talk, like, it makes sense that that's kind of how your comedy is in that way as well. It's not preachy. It's just, look, this is just another way to think about something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. Because no one knows what the fuck they're talking about, man.
That's it for a minute.
So when you create these projects, and this can also apply to Bust Down as well, when you create projects that wind up being a sacrificial lamb on the altar of mainstream
art.
Right, exactly. Then how do you not take it personal? Like, for you, is it a shrug thing? Like, okay, do you mourn it and then move on? Or
yeah, but also it was so complete Like, the last episode where I did my mother's funeral, man. It was such a complete journey that I was like, okay, a whole story got told here, and that's nice, you know? And, like, I felt good about it being that. And maybe some of it is, like how I look at music, where it's like, yo, you get to put out an album, and you're like, here's the whole story. I got to tell the story. And then, like, you just, like, hope I get to put out another album. And I'll tell another story. So that's kind of how
it's not something that got truncated. Like, you got to express
the
full idea.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, it's like a thing that gets to live on its own thing. And then, like, hopefully I get to make other stuff, you know?
Can I just ask, I'm going to zoom out real quick and act like I'm a whole civilian, don't really know you, see you on paper. And on paper, you've done some, like, really remarkable things. Like, we just talked about you doing SNL, not really even caring. That wasn't even something you pursued. It happened for you, right? Then we talked about, you know, you had your own TV show. HBO. Kind of dope. Also, from afar, it's like, then you end up in a movie with Eddie Murphy. So is that journey, if you zoom out and look at it, can you give us detail on that journey in that way? Like, do you feel, do you see the things that you've achieved in that way? Or are you always just like, next, what's the next thing? Because I hear you in your voice kind of like, hopefully I get another opportunity. But in this moment, do you understand that you've done some already remarkable things?
I mean, yeah, this, I guess I feel like I got to do some really cool things. Mm-hmm. And like those, that shit was like really fucking dope. I don't know if I look at it from a lens of like remarkable, but I'm just like, that was really dope that you got to that like opportunity lined up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what I got to learn from that even more so, you know,
curious,
is like dope as fuck, and like take that and just like move it
to the next joint. I thought about you the other day when Elon Musk, he sent like a rocket. He sent another rocket and it like fucking exploded and shit.
Did he?
Yeah. Try to play it off.
Like, the shit exploded.
A couple people tweeted me like, Space Day is Saturday.
Right. Nah, straight up. But until you made that joke, I thought like NASA was the space niggas. I thought they had space on lock. I didn't think.
I did not. Yeah, bro. Yeah,
that other people could do other people, it. I didn't either.
I didn't think you could dabble in space. Like, it just didn't seem right. It was like, you could. Like, we've read enough comic books. No, you don't just let individuals start fucking around in space.
Now we know.
Nah.
Or now they know.
Nah.
Like, that's not. Because
he tried to send, he literally, like, his SpaceX was, like, size of, like, Empire State Building.
Oh,
like,
shit.
It was the tallest rocket. I mean, again, you know. All right, so you are from Boston. I know being from a territory doesn't mean that you have run-ins with anyone. But did you know Patrice at all?
No, he went to high school with my brother.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's a whole nother generation, and been in comedy houses with him. And...
No.
That's like 20 years, right? You think of me? He would be like.
Well, I'm just saying that I.
Sam is actually much younger than us. We old.
Yeah, I'm like, she got the three. She got a three.
I'm not younger.
I know, but I idolize Stevie Wonder, so you
true.
Know, like,
bird to bird.
But I'm just saying that, like, the way that he described being a comedian in Boston, there was just a different level of tension there that really informed his opinions in life. And he mentioned a story one night. I guess if you guys remember the story of the woman who, I guess, she had murdered her kids, but she blamed it on black people in Boston. It's like in the early...
Yeah. I can't remember her name, but I know you.
In the early 90s, like, she got rid of her baby.
The water? The water? Smith, not the water. They didn't, she didn't put him in the water. Okay.
No, that was someone down south.
Susan's right.
Someone in Boston, like,
damn, that
you
was
know,
an era.
Oh, you talking about the dude who killed his wife?
It, yeah, or something like that. No, but it was,
the guy who killed his wife, right, and left her in a projects and blamed it on
right,
the
and blamed black people.
Charles
right.
Stewart.
And right. Patrice was one of those, well, all day they were just stopping
looking for
any
people,
black
looking
person.
For black men.
Yeah.
This is like early in his comedy career where he was leaving, he was one comedian leaving that night. And then after his altercation with police, like, he came back as the Patrice O'Neal that we know. And he said that just living in Boston did that to him. And I want to know, like, was that your experience in living there?
Matt polarized in Boston.
Not to the extreme, because I'm also not, like, I'm not living that experience as a black man, which has to be a whole nother experience.
Okay.
And I have to respect that. You know, like, I don't know. But so not to that extreme, but did I understand, like, racism? Yeah. Was it?
Well, not that.
You know,
I just don't
like,
know.
Like,
Boston got a different reputation. No, I understand what you mean, Amir. Like, Boston, as far as a Northeast town,
it
has a different reputation.
It's the south of the North.
It, thank you.
All right.
Yes, there is New Kids on the Block, and then there is New Edition.
But
there's
black folks there, too, though. Like, it's black folks there, too.
No, we know, but we always thought it was a kind of a separation. I mean,
but I don't
get
why it has this reputation. Like,
Ben Celtics. Affleck, Goodwill Hunting. I don't know.
I don't care.
From more perspective,
Goodwill Hunting.
Talk the car.
I go to
guy.
Philly and I don't feel like the white people are particularly not racist. You know, I'm not like, oh, they're so much
Philly
nicer here.
Wait, you're being serious right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So granted, a lot of our education, and I'm willing to admit that a lot that we learn, we also have to just sort of analyze. Yes,
yeah.
I've learned a lot about the idea of Boston based
Cheers.
On... Yeah,
yeah,
based on
yeah.
ninth-hand information and what I see on TV.
All of the things.
I was just led to believe that, like, that Boston was more akin to, like, what Bensonhurst 89 was. there's certain places that you don't go. And I was just taught early, you don't go to Boston.
That. It might be wrong.
I was just taught that.
So. I just feel like, yeah, to some degree, is very territorial in that way. And like, it was Southie, like where the white boys lived. And it was like, you don't really need to be out in Southie.
So it's any town in America.
After a certain hour because they're over there drunk. I mean.
Right.
Big facts. It's late. They're tumbling out of there drunk. And we all know white boys like to fight for no reason. They hit themselves in the heads with bottles and stuff. So
is
it's just
you guys?
Like, bro.
That's what I like to
know.
Do after.
You're doing it right
that's
now.
That's why I get some ayahuasca. I might fucking beat my ass up.
Like, it's like, bro, you just don't go over there like that. There's really no business over there.
Well, I'm glad you dispelled everywhere. That myth because literally any like, black person that I know that says I'm from Boston, inside my head, I'm like, wow.
Life was hard.
You've seen a lot, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's so crazy.
This can't be the first time you heard this,
I start playing like taps in my head on a harmonica.
But I just don't understand what people think is happening. It's like,
right.
It's not like, bro, it's not you walking to school and just like throwing tomatoes at you. You're just like, okay. Are people like, nobody.
Dude, all I know, Boston, black people in Boston is Guru, the almighty artist.
Yeah, shout out my man, Dart Adams. Right. My brother, Dart Adams. But no, there's black Bostonians. And like,
there's a black Boston. There's a black Boston culture. Culture.
There's culture there.
It's a city that's been black for a long time. I mean, Malcolm X started his first independent mosque
Tell us
in Boston.
More. Yeah, come on.
Malcolm X talks about all the dope shit that he saw in Boston when he went to Roxbury and Fort Hill and how the black people were living there and black doctors and shit that was over there. MLK had a crib in Boston. Like, what are you talking
about?
Like,
say that shit about Philly.
Okay,
too.
Then.
We needed to be
we
informed.
All going
to
move
you,
to Boston. Let's all collectively.
Thank you.
We're going to collectively move to Boston.
Minds are changed forever.
We're going to do mushrooms in Boston.
Just saying.
It would be great.
Fuck it.
I'm glad you dispelled that myth because I was just taught to be afraid of Boston. But, you know, I also agree that everything I was taught that I have to
unlearn. To rethink everything. Yeah.
It is a very segregated city. The black people are where the black people are. Like, we live in Shreveport, Dorchester, Roxbury, Mattapan, like, the South End a little bit. Like, yes. You know what I'm saying?
What was your section?
Dorchester. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, and we party where we party because, like, you know, just like a lot of like
this literally
cities,
sounds like every city.
Yeah, bro.
Did you go to Roxbury 11 p.m. tonight?
Yes, especially now it's all gentrified.
Right, that part.
1988.
They riding unicycles.
Depending on where I'm going. Where am I going? What's my purpose? You know what I'm saying?
What's my purpose?
That's facts.
Like, Yeah. You know what I mean? And so if you go to downtown and shit, you ain't gonna see us like that. Are there a lot of like black clubs? No, because Boston is like white Atlanta, you know? Like, it's where white people come to be white their whitest self. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Like, you're not gonna get, you know what I mean?
Yo, you just said a mouthful right there.
I'm over here learning. I'm breaking bottles on that. I got to marinate on that for a second.
People from Boston say that all the time. Shout out to my boy Rito and Jason. This not an original idea. We've all said this. Like, it is, though. It's like,
thank you. This is the last time I'm gonna say it.
It's like white Atlanta. Like,
I got it now.
You know what I'm saying? It's so, no.
You know, when you call something white Atlanta, it's different. And it ain't like every town.
Downtown is like, they be like, yo, no hats, no Timberlands, you know.
That shit, yeah.
That type of shit, type of rules or whatever, for if you could get into places. It does that little bullshit. So then, you know, niggas get to a point where it's like, oh, I'm just partying in my neighborhood or throw parties or go where I know I'm wanted because I'm not, I don't want to go spend money and be harassed and shit, you know. So it is like, yeah, like that, like. They'll tell you no hats and then let a white boy walk in with a hat in your face. Yes, Boston do shit like that.
See, now you tell me.
Boston do shit like that. No, because I think that's the shit that people have seen and been like, it's crazy.
And it's not just a Boston thing.
But that's what I'm just keeping it real. Like,
true. It's a downtown thing sometimes.
It's a white thing.
It's a Boston.
It's a racism thing.
Yeah. They'll play that type of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll do that type
it's
of
a lucky
shit.
Strike thing,
maybe
for sure.
We just don't like the Celtics and we just decided to monolith on an entire.
I mean, and we also got
city.
To busing late, and that will always look crazy on the city when you see.
I've heard
those,
new edition stories
those
about the
busing
system.
Images, and that looks crazy. You know what I mean?
So there is like, context to some people's thoughts. Thank you, Sam.
Boston got
to
take his L's where it was wild, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't grow up and it wasn't like. Nigga! He's throwing bricks at me, my nigga. That wasn't happening to me. Like, I went to school and it was fine and, like, shit was straight. I played with black kids outside.
I wish I had like John Williams inspirational music. Like she really sold. Like she really sold Boston.
I feel bad for her that she had to sell it to
the Boston being the place where white people go to be their whitest. That was it.
When you put it in the white Atlanta perspective, I said, I got it.
They have a freaknik.
It's called the marathon. I'm sorry.
Wow,
that was good.
Wow. Yo, this is the wildest episode.
Really dark.
No. That was like a whole new.
My ear. Wait.
You need more mushrooms. No. Fuck yes.
But yo, let's give it.
Someone is good. All I know. Yeah. That was Braylon Hart.
Your presence is bringing out.
No, I thought about you.
A whole new life.
But you are gonna definitely get some white man comments. Oh, you damn disrespect the marathon. Yeah, you're right. It's gonna be in the comments. This is why I can't stand like here. No, I feel like white people find this type of stuff to just get mad. Like when I be looking at like Talib's comments.
Oh, why would you want to do that to yourself?
It's fun for me. It's the funniest shit. I love it. I have the best time.
In case you're wondering, during the pandemic, while they were taping their episode of their podcast, the first thing that Mose and Dave collectively asked him, like, why would you want to subject yourself to, like, just going toe-to-toe with every comment person?
That cannot be good.
It be making me laugh, bro. Because the people that be fighting is like
I want to see they that. Really I want to play.
They really be,
but it also is like they clearly came here to fight.
Looking
you.
For a fight, yeah.
They're like they're like big, like long beard, like mountain looking white men.
It's bar
like,
fights.
It's like it's not like they've been listening, and this one disappointed them.
Right.
You know what I mean? they've come here to fight you, son.
You phrased it like
online fight club. It's almost like online fight club. It's like
you phrased it like that's one of your favorite pastimes. Like, oh, let me see what's in there. Talib's comments. One time I seen the comments was like in 5,000s, and it's like, oh,
no, I'm not doing that.
I might
5,000s, yo.
It is.
Yo.
Incredible, I will say.
You read it too, Bill?
I've gone down that rabbit hole a couple times.
It is.
Sure, why not? It's unbelievable. Like, you can't, it's almost like impossible to believe.
It's so
and it
wild.
Is like,
and
like
it
moonshine
just starts with one question. Whose man's is this?
Yeah. And I be all the way down. I hear his voice. Yo, who man is this?
More power to you, Talib Kweli. I can't read the comments, man.
That's so funny.
It's good to know Amir.
Oh, yeah, I do not ever read comments.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Me neither. Oh, you go crazy.
Y'all messed up, man. People, it be thousands. People
you
really
read the comments, Laia? Let me find out you read the comments.
Of course she does.
I'm sorry, y'all. I still get like 12. So, yeah, I can read my comments.
In like one swoop. Just one. Like click.
Just one swipe.
I will say like on a post for a show, like, come to the show,
right?
I'll read my comments. If someone's like, yo, what about D.C.? If I have a day in D.C., I'll be like, yo, I'll be in D.C. this day. I'll gauge on that, but, like, if it's just, like, my face or something, we're good.
There's no purpose here.
There's no purpose here.
They like, you cute.
I'm not getting nothing out of this.
No, it don't matter. Okay.
But as many of those that come, it's going to be like, stupid, ugly bitch. And it's like, I got to go through one of those to get to a... We love you. I'm going to just leave the whole shit alone.
Don't do that to
yourself. For my mental sanity.
No, I feel you.
For my mental sanity.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you don't have to engage with all that shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Bro. No.
You get one swipe's worth. That's the rule. One, and you're done.
That's it, man.
Commenters. Y'all be in them things, rolling up them numbers.
I'm just under the impression that if things go good, I mean, if I have a really good meal, my first thought isn't, let me go and Yelp and rave about it.
Yeah.
I might realize, like, my power and, like, I want to elevate a business and be like, yo, man, these croissants are off the hook. And, you know, I'll do that. But I'm just under the impression that if things go good, you know, then no one's going to really comment about it. But if things are bad or people just in a bad mood,
that's what I'm saying.
That's what Yelp and comments are.
Social
but
media,
that's what I mean.
Dude.
Like that's what you're gonna receive. So it's like that's why I don't like. I don't mess with.
I'll be fishing.
Speaking of which, I was 3 seconds away. I had a very rotten experience at one particular amusement park I went to a month ago.
I love when we talk code.
If it's only
I try to guess. I'm like,
right.
Okay.
Right. the clue
Six Flags or the clue, point
the clue should be I don't want to stop the bag, so I won't say their name, but
okay.
I will notice that as an avid local amusement park person, like when I'm on the road, whatever, I have a day off, I'm going to, you know, this particular amusement park is not plus size friendly.
None of them are.
No. Disney has finally made the adjustment this year where they now have certain rides I couldn't ride before.
Yeah.
They're not booty friendly.
Yeah, they're not at all. They're literally not. But Disney made that adjustment, so shout out to Disney. So I'm not talking about
Disney. We're not talking about Disney. I was going to say, I love Disney.
Really?
You always supposed right. to.
I need to go to Bootyland. They're all set up.
Bootyland.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
I too went to an amusement park with my family like a month ago.
Right.
And like, it was great. You know what I'm saying? But it was my first time being there in like 25 years.
Right.
So like my last time there, I was a senior in high school. And now, you know, clearly not
your dad,
a senior
those
high school.
Rides are
you.
Those rides are different.
These rides are very
I
different.
I did my last year. I'm done.
I can't
roller
go on.
Roller coasters. I'm done.
I can't really? Do drugs and I can't
like
go on roller coasters.
I did the roller coaster.
Like
I was still
asshole.
With it. Nah, I had to show my boys I still got it.
I won't get on no. Like,
don't
you
do
won't
it.
Get on roller coaster, Sam? You
no.
Said you
but at the everywhere. End of it, you like, no.
For
yeah,
what?
I mean, it was great.
For
I did
what?
The sky coaster.
How good was the nap after you left the amusement park?
Oh, Lord.
It was great. Because, I mean, it was a day of walking. Like, I think I got like 30,000
Yo, your steps was
in.
Off the hook, right?
Your steps were like 12,000.
Yo, I was on 20,000.
People, you calculate your steps. I do it too. Don't know. I do it too.
I'm closing rings.
I do it too.
You
got to close your ring. I'm not mad about it. I just want to acknowledge it. If you're over the age of 40, you better be knowing how many fucking steps you have.
You got to close
your
rings,
bro. I will say that the only reason why that trip wasn't a bust.
You got to close the rings?
No, you always got to close the ring, especially over the age of 40. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
I'm over the age of 40.
You're younger.
No, I'm not.
You're over the age of 40?
No, she's not.
I can tell you I'm not younger than y'all.
Wait.
How old are you?
Because in this, you was, what in the black queen?
Now we're all doing
math. I would keep saying that. I don't know why you know. I was like, I'm not younger.
You are over 40?
Yeah, I'm 41.
Yeah, she's born the same, she's born right before Thriller.
We could talk about Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, also,
okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the fuck happened to the amusement park?
The rides, yeah, like the rides are not, they're not made for Men of Husk.
No.
Yeah. But, and honestly, for me, it's just one of those things where it's like, I mean, it was rides I rode, but like, for me, it was just a thing of like, yo, do I really want them? Do I really want this to be inclusive? Like, do I really want something that I could potentially lose my life on?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with just
you're getting
not
put
being
high
able...
up in the air. So,
It's like, bruh.
No. Cause the answer is no.
Because it's not about, it's not about inclusivity. No, it's about fucking physics.
Safety and physics. Yes. And like, yeah, it's like, you, bro, should you fly up there, bro?
Oh, that's what y'all saying. Should you be up there?
Yeah. It's just like, bro, it's like, if I can't make the whatever standards that y'all
please
made,
tell me so I could go on and live.
It's cool, my nigga. I can just go to little teacups or whatever.
Thank you, Lord.
I can just funnel cake and just do some whatever fat shit I was going to do.
So look, that's why you got here.
So look. Let me just do the fat shit I was going to do here. Like, y'all know why I'm here. Like, fuck out of here.
Wait. You know what I mean? This is, all right, as we slowly start to wrap this episode up, I'm realizing
that
we are six individuals that have issues with not being in control.
Thank you.
Right.
It's not just me.
You've been vindicated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Call back. That was nice.
Look how that happened.
That was
Look what drugs do.
Yes.
I was going to say, and Steve, but Steve is like our resident weed head, and Steve hasn't said a damn word.
I'm too high to talk.
Good night.
Well, this actually might be an awesome day because I've not gotten any notes from Brittany
nor
cousin Jake. Wait, do you guys have microphone access in there in that room?
No. You want it today. You want the drugs too. Fucking A, cousin Jake. You know what you want.
Hey, Jake, like, you save me some.
He can lose control.
Like, for those that don't know, our parents are in the other room. Brittany and Jake. And usually I'll get a note like, guys, let's wrap this up, please.
Yeah, you're going off the rails.
Yeah. But we're doing fine. Like, no one from iHeart's going to.
Sam, are you coming back? Oh, she
wants us to wrap up.
We had so much fun last year. Are you coming?
I was going to ask Sam about music.
I want to. If I'm off, I am going to, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'd like to have you.
Hell,
What's coming? I guess what's next for you? Is it more shows? Is it more TV stuff? Like, kind of what you looking to?
Yeah, I'm about to film my second special in June in Brooklyn at Brooklyn Steel.
Nice.
June 17th. I'm super excited.
Good luck.
Your manifestation must be high because you seem like you get what you want.
You know what? I just want to keep being able to do comedy and be funny and create things. Okay. And as long as that, like, keeps coming to me, I think I'll be okay, you know? So I'm just excited about shit like that. Just, like, got a couple shows I'm working on with two different networks. And
are you allowed to mention the shows?
They really they are, like, working names in progress, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Great Adventure at Rye Playland. Got it.
Yeah. And I'm just, you know, trying to sleep more and
I highly recommend my mind
and body and stuff right, and you know, just trying to connect with that part of myself more because I feel like I was running, you know, trying to lay down so much groundwork and shit. And I'm like, you got a little breathing room, you got to also take care of yourself. Just trying to find that balance, you know, that work life balance and shit. And just, you know, doing what I do.
That's all you can do.
Indeed.
And we appreciate that. Wait, before I wrap up,
what was your first musical memory?
There we go. I've been one. I do like that. That's usually our first question, Sam. That's what he does.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I missed that one.
Wait, hold on.
Can you just play mine since we're here?
What do you gotta say, Sam, random, bro?
I like cheese.
No, where did your parents just come from? Where did your parents just come from?
Oh, Jamaica.
Great.
Hey. That damn Fonte boy.
This is a good time.
My favorite part.
Here we go.
His stepmother is Jamaican.
Oh, wow.
Still true. Wow, you just faded it.
Yeah.
Shit.
Wow. Yes, a lot's happened.
Man, you got stems? Right. All happened. Yes.
You
all
see, right. Sam, the reason he looks so excited is because Amir hasn't played these things that Fonte created 5 years ago in about 3 years.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But Fonte made some genius.
My stepmother's still Jamaican.
I'm high.
Anyway.
Yes.
You guys are fucked.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Steve and I have to report back to work before we get in trouble. What are we doing today?
You gave us drugs,
Clearwater Revival?
Yeah, John Fogerty.
Oh, John Fogerty. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Sam, I appreciate you.
For the drugs?
Thank you so much.
This was really nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. All right, well, on behalf of the team, Straight Lace Bill,
that.
Yo, the way that Steve.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, let's thank Fonte. Wait, wait, wait. We forgot to thank Fonte and Sam because this is the reason that even Sam, because Fonte.
Well, I mean, I always wanted to hear it, but yes, Fonte definitely made it happen.
Thank you for bringing Sam on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Fonte.
And Laia and Sugar Steve and Mom and Dad, Britt and Jake. Wait. Wait, Jake can't be dad and cousin Jake at the same time.
I think cousin Jake works.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just.
Yeah, cousin Jake. Yeah.
Cousin Jake
works.
All right, y'all. Yeah. We'll see.
He's a little light skinned to be your father.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see you next time.
Jake, he's our Creole cousin.
Goodbye, people. See you next week. Goodbye.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.